Yellow, yellow, yellow.
Yes.
Yellow.
This is Adam with the Dollar Bin. I'm here with the elusive Jay.
You call me Jay. JW.
JW.
Yellow.
I'm here with Josh Cotter, writer of Skyscrapers of the Midwest. Right?
Yes.
Right. Is that what you do?
That's what you do. That is what I did.
I've tried to interview Josh twice at SPX, and I'm finally this is my goal.
Usually hungover.
Yes, I had three goals. This is my last one. Once I've done this interview, I'm done. I've met every goal that I wanted to do this weekend.
That's excellent. Finally, after all these years.
Yeah. So, Josh, you do your stuff with Ad House,
mm-hmm.
and you did Skyscrapers and Midwest. When did you start working on that?
2003, I started doing the mini comics. Did the first issue. And started out as like a collection of just like short stories related to childhood that I was interested in doing. And I submitted it to the Isotope out in San Francisco for APE. And one thing led to another. I did another mini comic, won the Isotope. And Chris happened to see the mini comics, and he asked if I would be interested in working with him. And it just kind of snowballed from there. So
the books that people can get their hands on now, is that after your mini comics, or
the,
is that included?
The mini comics, I only have like two or three of the first issue. Yeah, the collection. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm off track. What he did was he took the first two mini comics, collected it as the first issue,
okay.
And then I did three more issues for him. And then once we got all those done, we collected it once more into the Ultimate Blue Edition.
So that explains why the first two have more of a broken up storyline.
Yeah, they are, and it's like it's often labeled as a graphic novel, but I have issues with that because it really didn't start out that way. It was just a one man anthology type thing. And once I did start with Chris, I took what stories I had written and tried to find a way to incorporate them into a longer narrative. And
so you didn't have a start and end, you were just writing small
stories. I was just
stories.
Writing as I went. And once I got to the second issue, Chris and I talked about either doing four or five issues. We decided four, so I knew I was going to work towards the end of four being the ultimate ending. And so, yeah, at first it was just very random stories I wanted to write, and it kind of turned into that monster.
Yeah, so these are stories from your life based, I guess?
Yeah, everything's based on, you know, childhood.
Did you have a litter of kitty cats die?
Yeah.
That was sad, man. That was really sad.
It was like it's more common on the farm, you know, but still I never got used to it. Whether it be like on the cover of the first issue had the skeleton farmer loading his gun to kill the kittens. That's what people did. That's what my dad did whenever the mama cat was gone and there were like kittens left over. You put them out of their misery. That's what it was called. And even though I knew it was like a part of life, I couldn't handle it. And then, yeah, of course, like, you know, if the mother's gone, you find kittens out in the barn and they die. And it was just, I never could quite, but you know, I guess that's like if the books are coming of age story, it's like little things like that, you know, help that along, you know, the death of something so cute and small and helpless.
The story starts out, you have a lot of your advertisements for Fun Cigarettes.
Yeah.
Is that, what made you throw that in there?
My first mini comic was called Fun.
Okay.
It was just about addiction but not really just about addiction, but just like going through the motions of life, whether it be work, consumption, whatever. And it was the first series I ever did. I don't know if it'll ever see the light of day or not, but it was it ended up being like 72 pages, and the book was called Fun, and it was named after the cigarettes.
Okay.
So to kind of like sig into Skyscrapers, I decided to kind of hint back at the mini comics just with doing ads for Fun Cigarettes.
Gotcha. Yeah. And then, so where'd Skinny Kenny come from?
Skinny Kenny, I actually met a Skinny Kenny in Texas. It's a long story, so I won't get into it, but it was based on an actual cowboy I met. And I like the name so much. The actual character itself, he wasn't a belligerent redneck.
Yeah.
That's more based on the narrow-minded type folk that I grew up in the Midwest. Yeah, it's like, you know, like taking that belligerence and trying to find some humor in it at least.
Was that Hotmail address a live address?
It was, yeah, and I never received a letter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When it started out in my mini comics, that was just that was the email I set up for my comics. And, it didn't really fit with the Skinny Kenny, but once I had it going, I didn't feel right changing it, so I just kept it as Panaphobe just in case.
I was curious. So
I was like, you know, I don't think I'll ever receive a letter, but and I didn't, but it was I put it there just in case.
And then the way you kind of did it is this: the Skinny Kenny letters would basically introduce the story you were about to read and come into. I mean, was that's kind of how did that work out? Like creating that.
Well, I mean, that's how like the book kind of like turned into like relating something later on to something that happened earlier on. When I, in writing, that's something I really enjoy is like, you know, the foreshadowing of like suggestions of what's about to happen. Yeah. And then so when you're actually reading it, you link back to, it's a way of tying the book together for me.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of the way I write is lots of stream of consciousness, and I pull things from over here and add them to things over here. And I don't know, that kind of writing's just, yeah, if I feel it appeals to me, I'm hoping it'll appeal to other people out there.
The cool thing to me was I read that stuff, and then like I read the story, and then I was like, that's when it clicks. Holy shit, that was just told through this.
Yeah, I want the clicking moment. Yeah. I think that's really exciting when I read and things click, and I'm like, well, how can I make things click? And it's just like, it's by suggesting over here, or like putting, even there's lots of stuff hidden in skyscrapers, just like icons and imagery that I wanted people to be able to go back to the book, not just read it once and be able to put it down, but I wanted people to be able to go back and find other things in layers. Yeah.
The cool thing also is after that initial click, at that point, from that point on, every time I read the letter section, I try to go, so how is this going to happen in the book?
Attention.
You know? Yeah. So it's like, how is this going to tie together? What's going on here? You know?
Yeah. And I don't know. Even with the advertising and stuff, like I would try to pull it into other parts of the book. It's just, it's a humor, and you know, keeps me interested too, having some fun. And
The yearbook issue was also, like, I remember first reading the yearbook issue with the pages, and I would read and I'd go, is this just the same page? It was like, nope, this changed and this changed. and then it's just like stuff like that is definitely pretty.
Yeah, like, and I was like, that was one thing with like the yearbook was like, I feel kind of guilty using a whole other page just to change a frame, but it was part of the sequence. I felt that was necessary. But yeah, like, you know, even subtle changes, I think, you know, make you look a little harder, and I don't know, just pull the reader a little further into the world.
So why cat people?
People always ask me why anthropomorphic characters and stuff. Yeah. It's just like, it seems natural to me. I mean, I grew up with Looney Tunes and Sesame Street and Muppets, and just everything was talking animals. And it's just, people ask me why talking animals. I'm like, well, you know, like, isn't that how we tell stories? I don't know. And then cats were just like a big part of my childhood. I mean, with the kittens and stuff, there were always at least half a dozen cats around the farm. We never had inside cats, but I was always finding cats smashed out in the highway, and then, you know, their kittens would, you know, those stories were actually part of.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, it's also kind of weird having like the cats playing the main characters, but also having pet cats. And it kind of goes back to Goofy and Pluto, I guess, in a way there. But I don't know, anthropomorphic characters, I think I'll continue with that just because it's an interesting, this kind of stories I read, like, you know, like the Wind in the Willows and stuff growing up, or Alice in Wonderland, is a mixture of humans and animals. And it's not something that I question. How they presented it as reality made the story that much more compelling to me. And I think it just seems like a natural way of storytelling for me.
So I take it if it was like a coming of age story kind of thing, do you have a little brother?
Yeah. No, but all the stories are based on they're like, what I did was like take, like, you know, having the girl that I had a crush on actually kicking me
so
in
that,
the
that
junk. Yeah, and you know, it's really like I said, it's the stuff that makes you grow up, and that's kind of what I wanted to focus on with Skyscrapers.
Yeah.
But my little brother, all the stories, and he was exactly that.
How does he handle it, reading it?
He loves it. Yeah. He's he gets really excited, and then that he's a co-protagonist in the book. But all the stories like start out with real life experience, and then I would kind of branch off into the fantasy elements, and you know.
As a child, you tend to do that in real life.
Anyway. That was a lot of, especially growing up in the middle of nowhere, there wasn't much as far as entertainment. So we really. My brother and I really lived in a little fantasy world where just anything was possible. We were still, like, you know, depressed and sad little kids, but we still, you know, that was our escape.
Did an assload of people actually die?
An assload of people?
Yeah, like, throughout that book, it's just, like, people are dying left and right. I mean...
Well, you mean people... Yeah, there's a lot of... I guess there's a lot...
Yeah.
I guess, you know, I guess with the same with coming of age, a lot, death was just a big part of that. Like, it's pulling you out of that fantasy world, and the harsh realities of life are what make us get older. And I think with the younger brother and older brother, I wanted to show that the older brother kind of started out in the same level as the younger brother, but throughout the 300 pages, he slowly starts growing up. Whereas little brother, you can still see he still holds on to that. And of course, in the next few years, he'll be going through his own experiences where he'll have to grow up. And but, you know, the story doesn't necessarily need to be told. It's,
yeah.
I still like he maintains his innocence to the end of the book, whereas the older brother, you know, it's more like how we are when we grow up. We we start facing reality.
The one point, the mother gets, like, the migraine and, like, the insect.
The cicada, yeah.
The cicada. Where'd that come from?
People ask me where I come up with the icons, and I really don't. I don't like talking about it too much because words kind of take away from
the
iconography.
It's kind of leave it to interpretation.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of symbols in skyscrapers, and I really enjoy that kind of writing where things can have multiple meanings.
Okay.
A lot of it comes just through lots of writing and pulling, seeing how things work together, and the icons start representing this or representing that, and where it comes from. I don't want to explain it because really just I want to, that's one. Like, I go back to like things that I am interested in reading. It's like the work that pulls me in the most is they leave enough of it open to interpretation to pull the reader in that much more. And
yeah, I guess a lot of it comes down to. A lot of the stuff that I read is pretty straightforward. And to talk to somebody who actually uses a lot of symbols in his book, it's like you always want to ask those questions because it's like you talk to other people and it's like everybody has a different interpretation. So to actually talk to the creator, but I totally get not answering. Yeah.
And actually today, a couple people have already come by and talked about the squid thing on the grandma's back and stuff.
Yeah,
and
asked
me what it means. And I won't tell them. You know, if they tell me what they think it is, I'll say, yeah, that's cool. But
awesome.
I wouldn't want someone taking that away from me if I read their book and I had an idea of what something represented.
Yeah.
That's how certain books become a part of me, is I'm able to go into that world and you know, latch on to certain things.
It's kind of like when something gets adapted into a movie and then it ruins it for you.
Well, like when Skyscrapers came out, I mean, like there were people like coming and asking for script rights and stuff, and I don't think it's meant to be a book, you know? Like I've seen like a couple Vonnegut movies, well, at least Breakfast of Champions, where Vonnegut, like Breakfast of Champions, was a book that's the form it's supposed to be in. So Skyscrapers is kind of reliant on the medium of comics.
Right.
And I think if you pulled it out of that world, it wouldn't work properly. So, Skyscrapers will stay as a book. And if I felt like someone approached me and I was familiar with their work and I agreed with their aesthetic and I had some hand in the creative process, I would be interested in that. But otherwise, like, I don't know. I just know that it'd be the lines between the reality.
You wrote it for what it is.
I wrote it for what it is. So I don't. Yeah. I don't. And as much as my as much pain and time and sacrifices I put into the book, I feel it should stay as it is.
Other than being from the Midwest and what's your background as far as, I guess, like, schooling and education? I mean, did you
as
go
far as what?
Like schooling and education? Did you go to school to write or anything?
Yeah.
Or
no. I didn't go to write. I grew up on a farm and just, you know, I always drew and I was always Sunday comics, of course. It's just I didn't know I want to be a cartoonist, but I think I kind of worked towards it all my life. When I went to college, I went to be an illustrator. There was a small university in Missouri I went to.
Okay.
And I majored in illustration there and I graduated and I did freelance spot illustration, editorial type stuff for a long time. I got kind of fed up with that, so I started just writing. I felt compelled to start writing, and I started illustrating the stories, and they just eventually turned into comics. And I never really set out to do it, but it kind of turned into that. So it's been an interesting process. I mean, so much of what I do is accidental, and so much serendipity. It's it's like, you know, I'm kind of an observer myself, and I'm constantly surprised as to what's happening. Like, you know, to have a couple books out is just beyond my expectations. It's really exciting.
In that Skyscrapers collection, toward the back, you have a little supplement section where you have a page of notes. Is that really like a page of notes? That tiny little writing?
Everything's a size, even the thumbnails. I draw it size and everything. The thing with the addenda in the Skyscrapers is I felt like the book was, like I said, so much about comics. And really, for me, it's so much about process.
Yeah.
That, you know, future books, I probably won't include stuff like that. But Skyscrapers, the whole thing was about that process. And I wanted that, you know, kind of like I don't know, not necessarily like special features, but to show how my ideas start and how they change into the final piece.
As a reader, I enjoyed having things like that.
I didn't know how that.
It almost brings like a closure, I guess, to the whole story, because you read the whole story and then it's like I got so involved with it myself, and then to just kind of at the end be just like kind of given this whole And this is my point of view kind of
thing.
Yeah, and that was nice.
It doesn't give everything away, but it gave me an opportunity to stick some more into, just hide some more things and also like show some some of the process.
And what do you have on the horizon?
Well, Driven by Lemons just came out today. Yeah. It was a sketchbook exercise, so more abstract, intuitive comics. And I've started writing for the next book, and no publisher or anything yet. I'm just going to write. And while doing Skyscrapers, I had lots of ideas that wouldn't fit into that world. So I'm going to start pulling all those together. And I think the next is going to be a pretty large project. It's going to take me a few years. So I need to find a way to serialize it so I don't drop off the map entirely. But also, I don't want to do individual floppy comics anymore. Just the way with Diamond and everything else, it's just it's not a friendly environment for small press.
Absolutely not.
So I'm gonna find Chris, and I were talking, he mentioned do actually like web comics, put pages up while I do them, and then or maybe like wait until I finish a small chapter and then release it as a PDF or something. But and then like every couple of years collect it into the actual volume that I intended to be in. So that's I've got a lot to think about, and I say it'll at least be another 2 years before my next project comes out. So,
where can people get your stuff now?
Regular comic shops. They can order it through Diamond. Skyscrapers is almost sold out, but I think we're doing a third printing. Should be out at the end of the year. So within the next couple months,
that's through Ad House.
Yeah, everything's through Ad House. I do mini comics occasionally and stuff, but my website's dead right now, so I can't let anything promote. It's in progress, but I really. Eventually, I would like to have a store there for people to buy comics and pages and whatever. But just Ad House or comic shops or online stores.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Skyscrapers, man.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Josh.
It.
Thanks for your time here.
No problem at all.